We do welcome back to our pulpit, the Reverend Ian Harris. We're delighted that he's here tonight and pray the Lord will bless him as he comes now to bring God's word to us.
Would you turn with me, please, in the Word of God to the Old Testament scriptures and to the Old Testament prophecy of Micah. Micah chapter 7. You're finding your place. Can I thank the Reverend Patterson for his words of welcome? As it is good to be back here with you in Kilkeel in our morning congregation. And we thank you here for hosting this watch night service this evening. Let's read together from verse 1 of Micah chapter 7, just next door to Jonah. We'll get to heaven, we'll meet all these people, and we'll not know what address they lived at. So it's good to look into where they were. So we have Jonah, Micah 7. Verse 1, let's hear the word of God. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward, and the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar, the most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchmen and thy visitation cometh, now shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend, put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies or the men of his own house. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. We'll end our reading here at verse 7. I know the Lord will bless once again the public reading of his own holy word. Just for a few moments this evening as we conclude this service, as we draw to an end the old year of 2018, could we focus your attention on the words of verse 7. Verse 7. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Every preacher, every true believer, at some time or another, I think, was brought to the place where the prophet Micah found himself in the opening portion of this chapter. Listen to his mournful, melancholic lament. He said in the opening statement of verse 1, woe is me. He had been called to minister in the southern kingdom of Judah, a place that had known great blessing, and the Spirit of God outpoured upon it, and God's intervention in the nation time after time. But the day of Micah was a day of spiritual declension and national apostasy. His prophetical ministry stretched over the reigns of three kings, King Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Though in the reign of King Hezekiah, we know there was some reprieve in the slide toward national destruction, Micah had to minister in ever-deepening political corruption, social injustice, moral decadence, and widespread departure from the worship of the one true and living God. He was called to make Judah conscious of her sin. We live in a day and age when people are not keen, and we could say they were never keen, but people are not keen to be made conscious of their sin today. He exposed the pretense of their religious experience. They were a people who drew nigh to God with their lips, but their hearts were far from him. At the end of his prophecy, Micah, he realized that the impact of his ministry had been limited. In the three reigns of those kings, we see his disappointment that not more had been accomplished for the advancement of the kingdom of God. In verse 1, he compared his own ministry to that of someone gathering grapes in the vineyard. They had been sent to gather the grapes, but such is the devastation in the land, there's no clusters on the vine anymore. What was left was just a few wild grapes. And after all his labors, he'd little to show. And in near despair, he cried out, "Woe is me." I think we can all honestly empathize with the prophet Micah. The work in 2018 has not produced the clusters that we had hoped for. There has been an impact, and we thank God for that, even as there was in Micah's ministry. But it hasn't stopped the slide that we see across our nation, the decline, the advancing apostasy, and the darkening spiritual days. It'd be all too easy to stop at the opening phrase and belittle what had been done in his ministry, and to slide with Micah into self-pity and to say, "Woe is me. We're just a little remnant battling on for the Lord. Woe is me." But there's an antidote to such self-pity and pessimism in the work of the Lord. And in our text, verse 7, Micah shows us how to stop sliding into despair. He gave a response, a godly response, to the sinful hardness of his age. And I think it's one that you and I should learn to emulate. "Therefore," he said, "in the light of the decline in the nation, what will I do? I will not look at myself. I will not look at others who profess the name of Jehovah. I will look unto the Lord. I will look unto Jehovah. And I will wait for the God of my salvation." And then with a great burst of confidence, he says, "For my God will hear me." As we come to the end of 2018, as we look out into 2019, with all of the challenges that it presents to us locally, here in Mourne, in the work of God, nationally, as we battle against great sin on every side, let's not finish the old year on a note of discouragement, but rather one of encouragement and the triumph of faith. Let's lift our eyes tonight from the prevailing circumstances and put our eyes afresh and anew upon the Lord. And let us enter into 2019 in the confidence of faith and in the victory of the gospel of Christ. Let's learn, first of all, from the prophet concerning the consolation that he had. His consolation is expressed to us in this opening phrase, "Therefore, I will look unto the Lord." When you find "therefore" in the scriptures, remember it's there for a reason. So the "therefore" takes us back into the opening section of the chapter. As we've already noted, this disappointment in verse 1. So from verse 2 to 6, he gives to us a description of the decline, the spiritual decline that he witnessed all round about him. Three kingdoms had come and gone, and yet there was an advancement of decline. The rot had set in. In verse 2, he lamented that good men had perished out of the land. Those who once stood against the rot, those who once stood and stood for the law of God, they no longer were there. Their places were empty. Their seats were empty. They had been taken away. And those who remained were the very opposite of the good men who had been taken. They were pliable men. They were men who would go with the wind and who would bend to the prevailing opinions of the day and generation. In verse 3, we see the corruption that was rife in the land. We see those that were in authority asking for bribes. We sometimes think in our land that such things only happen in far-off nations. Oh, but they happen here too. The corruption of the land that we live in. In verse 4, we see a society that was ripening for judgment. In verse 5 and 6, we see the breakdown of the family unit. A man's enemies are those in his own household. Individuals that should have been united one with the other were now fighting against one another. And we know, brethren and sisters, that when the family unit is broken down, the whole social fabric and structure of society falls with it. As the strength of the family, so is the strength of the nation. And across our nation tonight, sadly, we have many dysfunctional families and households. And the prophet, he needed, if nobody else needed it, he needed to get his eyes of what was happening round about him, and he needed to lift his eyes and to put his eyes upon the Lord afresh. He's given us a very detailed analysis of the political situation, of the economical situation, and we have been saturated with that over these past few months in our own land, and we see what is happening. And we look out spiritually in our own nation, and if we're able to discern and to discern the times, what we read provides us with dire reading. But we're not told to stop there. We're encouraged to lift our eyes above the prevailing circumstances. When the child of God cries out in the burdens and in the battles of life, "Woe is unto me," as the prophet did here, there is also consolation in knowing that under such indignation, we have an eternal God to look to. I will look to Jehovah, the great I am that I am. Matthew Henry so eloquently puts it, "All may look bright above him when all looks black and dark about him." If you're only looking about you, dear brother or sister, tonight, it's all blackness and darkness. It's only when we look above, we see the brightness of a triune, sovereign God reigning and fulfilling all of his purposes in our lives and across our land. As we look out again on this threshold of 2019, let's look to the Lord. Let's look beyond our disappointments. Let us submit to the will of God in our troubles. Let's bear the indignation of the Lord as we read off in verse 9. And let us by faith alone depend upon him for deliverance. Will our deliverance come from the political powers? Will our deliverance come from the great companies that control and really govern the world finances? No. Our deliverance will come from God or we'll not get deliverance. We are not only looking to him, but we're looking for him. I was so blessed in my own Bible readings yesterday when I came to John 20. And there we have Mary in the garden on the resurrection morning. And she came looking for Jesus. But she came looking for a corpse. And when she saw the risen Savior, she mistook him for the gardener. It tells us there very particular in verse 14, she had to turn again and she had to look at him. And as she looked at him and as she heard his voice, she was enabled to say, "My Lord." And she heard him say, "Fear not." Let's look again at him tonight. Let's hear him say, "Fear not." We can learn, secondly, from the resolution of the prophet. He resolved to wait. I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. Waiting. This is emblematic of prayer. Waiting involves prayer. The prophet had to wait before God in prayer. We're always in a hurry, men and women, but God is never in a hurry. God's time scale is totally different to our time scale. One day with God is like 1,000 years. And the only way to face the enemy that's all round about us is to put on the whole armor of God by prayer. And if we are on firm praying ground, then we'll not sink into the abyss of self-pity and despair. We're waiting personally. We're waiting collectively. We're called to pray. Both our congregations, we're called to pray and to seek the face of God. We're called collectively to wait on Him. This requires patience. It takes patience. Patience and prayer go hand in hand. If you've not got the answers that you prayed for in 2018, don't give up coming into 2019. Wait patiently. I love those verses, Psalm 37, that great psalm that depicts the great contrast between the way of the wicked and the way of the righteous. And in verse 7 it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him, and fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way. Just wait on Him. Rest on Him. Don't get fretful. Don't get impatient. We're reminded here of our own personal deliverance, our own personal salvation. Micah used the wonderful first person pronoun, my salvation. I will wait for the God of my salvation. What sort of salvation was that? It is unfolded in the prophecy of Micah. The name Micah means who is like Jehovah. And throughout his prophecy, he unfolds the meaning of Jehovah. One who would send his son into this world to be born in Bethlehem. Micah chapter 4. One who had his incarnation. Well, Micah 2. One who had his incarnation will come into the world, chapter 4, and will draw the nations unto himself. One who, when the Spirit is poured out upon the church, his law will go forth from Zion City. Micah, though he's an Old Testament prophet, he had clear views of the promised Messiah. You go down to the latter verses in this 7th chapter, and he gives us a wonderful explanation of what personal salvation is. Verse 18, it is pardon. Pardon from iniquity. It is the passing by of the transgression of his people. It is God being propitious towards sinners, delighting in mercy. God can only delight in mercy when his wrath has been propitiated. This is the pardoning God who is the God of my salvation. Now, before we step out into the new year, tell me, is he your salvation? Are you saved? Do you? Can you say from the very depths of your heart, I will wait for the God of my salvation? That's what makes the difference. So Luther said, you'll never understand the Bible till you understand the pronouns in the Bible. And this is one that we'll love and is precious to us as his people. He's my salvation. He's my God. If he's not your salvation tonight, take him. He's offered again to you. The gift of eternal life is offered again to you. Take it. Take it by faith and embrace it. And step into 2019 with God as the God of your salvation. Finally, notice the expectation of the prophet. My God will hear me. It nearly seems presumptuous, doesn't it? That the Almighty Eternal God stoops to hear his people, sinners, like you and I. Mr. Spurgeon called this the sweet silver bell that rings in the believer's ear. He'll hear us because he is the true and living God. He'll hear us because of that covenant relationship that he has with his people. Hearing prayer is part of God being God. In Exodus 2:24, we read, God heard their groaning, the groaning of the Israelites, his people, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. He's a covenant-keeping, prayer-hearing God. Wonderful encouragement to go into the new year with. He hears us as a friend. For what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. But he hears us as a sovereign God, and men and women, he knows which answers to give best. I thank God he didn't give me all what I asked him for in 2018. Because some of the things that undoubtedly I asked him for wouldn't have been good for me. But he gave me far more exceeding abundantly. I love that wonderful verse in Ephesians 3:20. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Like as in the days of Micah, there is much to discourage us. In the battle for Christ's crown and covenant in our land. But here's a little encouragement from the Lord. A little word in season from the Master as we end the old year and as we venture forth into the new year. And let us, like the ancient prophet, take it and say, therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. And he will hear me. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.